John chapter 10, we're going to begin reading this morning in verse 1, and that is page 872 in your pew Bible. John chapter 10, we're going to read verses 1 through 16 this morning, page 872, and take your Bibles and stand with me this morning as we read God's Word together. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." God bless you. You can be seated. You know, Psalm 23 is probably one of the most loved and well-known passages of the Scripture. It begins with those words, "The Lord is my shepherd." It is where we get today's compound name from God, Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. But the role of the shepherd, the role of the good shepherd, was revealed through the life and the words of Jesus. To give you a little background of this, what we read this morning, in John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man who has been born blind. This is not a man who once had sight and then lost it. This is a man who was born blind. This miracle is so stunning that even his friends, the people who know him, did not believe it had happened. They did not believe that this was the man. In John chapter 9, this is what they said in verses 8 and 9. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, it is someone like him." But he kept saying, "I am the man." His healing caused a division among the Pharisees. In John chapter 9, verse 15 and 16, some of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, says, speaking of Jesus, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. The division grew so strong and so deep that they call in this man's parents to question him. John chapter 9, verse 18 through 21. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. And they asked them, and I love this question, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's an adult. He can speak for himself." Now, why would his parents be so hesitant? Well, The answer is given in John chapter 9, the very next verse, where it says this: his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. In other words, if you fail to comply, if you don't do what they tell you to do, you're thrown out of the church. You can no longer come into the synagogue to worship. You are now a reprobate. You are now an outcast. So they call the man who had been healed back in again, question him again. He gives them the same answer, and now they become angry with him. And this is what he says to them: never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. This was a true miracle. This was not just opening eyes that were there. This was a man who had no eyes. This was a man who had no optic nerve. This was a man who had no blood vessels going into that area. This is a creative Genesis type miracle of God, of creating eyes, of creating optic nerves, of creating blood vessels, of creating a cornea, of creating everything that is part of the eye. So this man says to them, since the world began, it's never been heard that anyone who opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And this infuriates the Pharisees. So they say to him, you were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us. And they drove him out of the synagogue. So that's the background for John chapter 10. Where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I lead the sheep. I don't beat the sheep. I don't cast the sheep out of the sheepfold. I lead the sheep. He asserts to them, he's not a hireling. He's not a thief or a robber. He is Jehovah Rohi, the God who is my shepherd, the Lord my shepherd. So I want us to look in our remaining time this morning at what Jesus said about his role as the good shepherd. Jesus said this. He said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. You see, in the time in which Jesus lived, there might be 5-6 shepherds there who had sheep. They would drive all the sheep into one sheepfold. And what was a sheepfold? A sheepfold would be a large corral type arrangement, or a large corral type structure, and they would drive the sheep in, and they would put palm branches around the opening to keep the sheep from getting out, and to keep someone or a wolf or something from getting in. And then there would be a gatekeeper. One of the shepherds would stay up all night sitting in front of the gate to protect the sheep from wolves, to protect the sheep from wild animals, to protect the sheep from other shepherds who would attempt to come and steal the sheep. And so Jesus is painting this picture before them of all these sheep being driven into this one sheepfold, and there is someone there to guard the sheep. So in the morning, the shepherds would come, they would open the gate to the sheep, and all the sheep would come running out. They were not branded. They were not microchipped. They had no tag hanging around the neck that says, this is a Rodney sheep. This is a Robert sheep. This is a Nancy sheep. They were just, all the sheep would come rushing out. And here's all these 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 shepherds standing there, all these sheep coming out. But Jesus tells them, John 10, verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jesus said two things about the sheep. The first one he said was this: the sheep know my voice. And then the second thing he said was this: I know my sheep. The sheep know my voice. I know their names. Note what Jesus said. My sheep know my voice, and I know my sheep. Can you imagine the chaos, the dust, all these sheep running out and they're bleeding and they're running around and they're running into each other and these shepherds are there. And yet there is no fear in the part of the sheep, no fear in the heart of the shepherd, because he knows that when he begins speaking, his sheep know his voice. He doesn't have to yell. My dad always loved to hunt bird dogs, and he had a bird dog that would point rabbits, and my dad wasn't hunting rabbits, he was hunting quail. And so he put an electric collar around the neck of the dog, so when the dog would point, and if a rabbit flushed instead of a quail, and the dog ran off after the rabbit, you could hit a button, and you knew when the button was hit, because you could hear the dog yelping. It's sort of like, you know, that security fence you put up for your dogs, and how they get trained, they don't need the stakes any longer. They start feeling that little warm feeling around their neck, and they know I've gone far enough. The shepherd didn't do that. The shepherd could stand there as all these hundreds of sheep are running out of this sheepfold, could just stand there and just talk in a normal tone. And his sheep would begin to gather around him because they knew his voice. And he knew them by name. He had named the sheep. He had talked to the sheep. The sheep knew his voice. You know, Sherry and I have been married 10 years now. And one of the things I've learned in that 10 years, I have learned Sherry's voice. I've learned how to hear her here, and I've learned how to hear her here. You know, they say the secret of a marriage for a man is knowing what makes your wife tick and knowing what ticks her off. And you can tell by your spouse's voice if you've gone a little bit too far. If maybe what you said, you meant it one way, but it has been interpreted a different way because you know their voice. You see it on their face. You know, I have done something or said something that I shouldn't have done, that I shouldn't have said. You know. That comes from intimacy. That comes from being together. I didn't learn that the first time I went out with Sherry. She did ask me to marry her on that date, but I didn't. But I was driving a 350Z and she liked my car. But you learn through intimacy. You learn through conversation. You learn through dialogue. You learn that person. You learn their voice. You learn what it sounds like when they're happy, what it sounds like when they're not happy. You know that person. You know your child that's away from college or that is now an adult. When they call you, you know if there's a problem by the way they say mom or dad. You know, because you know your child's voice, not the voice they use. You know what is coming from the voice. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. In it, he's implying that my sheep spend enough time with me that they know my voice. And my sheep know enough time with me that not only do they know my voice, but they know the name I've given them. You know, Elijah experienced this in 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings chapter 18 is when Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel and shows that there is only one true God, and then kills the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, and news gets back to Jezebel the queen, and she says, by this time tomorrow you'll be a dead man. And Elijah runs and hides, and he ends up in chapter 19 in a cave, and the Bible talks about how that there was a earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and there was a rushing wind, but God was not in the rushing wind, and there was a fire, but God was not in the fire. But then it said, and then there was a still small voice. And notice how Elijah responded. Chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 of 1 Kings chapter 19. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. He knew the voice. He knew the voice. He wasn't swayed by the earthquake. He wasn't swayed by the wind. He wasn't swayed by the fire. But when he heard that still, small voice. In my personal devotions right now, I'm doing 1 Samuel. And I'm doing it because I'm preparing. I believe the Holy Spirit's laying on my heart to do a series on Samuel. And I was drawn to chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. I believe it's chapter 2, maybe it's chapter 3, where Samuel lays down. He's a young boy, probably 12, 13 years old. He lays down to go to sleep. And he hears a voice, and the voice says, Samuel. He jumps up, he runs to Eli, the prophet, the judge, and he says to Eli, I heard your voice, and here I am. And Eli said to him, I didn't say anything to you. Go back to bed. He goes back to bed. He hears the voice, Samuel. He jumps up. He runs to Eli. He said, you called me. Here I am. And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. It happened the third time. He runs to Eli. He says, I hear your voice. Here I am. What do you want? And Eli said, I haven't called you. But this time, when you go back to bed, if you hear the voice again, say these words, here I am, Lord. Your servant listens. Samuel goes back to bed. He lays down. The fourth time he hears the voice, Samuel, Samuel, that whisper. And Samuel said, here I am, Lord, your servant listens, your servant hears. Are you giving God the time and the opportunity and the environment in which he can call your name, in which he can call you by name? The second thing that I would say is this. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they know their names. Do you know your name? Not the name you've given yourself. You know, not the name that somebody else gave you. Not the name someone gave you in anger or in frustration or because you'd hurt them or because they were in pain and so they named you, they said this of you. You know, have you ever been in a business and you introduce yourself to somebody? And I'm in businesses all the time and I have to introduce myself. You know, I'm Rodney West and so on and so forth. And have you ever introduced yourself to someone and they said in reply, I've heard of you? Has any that ever happened to any of you? My mom used to say this, your name will go further than you ever will. The writer of Proverbs says this, a good name is to be valued above rubies. Has that ever happened to you where you introduced yourself to someone and they said, I've heard of you. What's the first thought that goes through your mind? First thought that goes to my mind is, what have you heard? What have you heard? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and my sheep know their name. Not the name you've given yourself. Not the name someone else has given you. Do you know your name? I looked up my name one time, Rodney. It means a solitary crag. It's an English name, and it means just a rock sticking up somewhere. Not a pretty rock, just a crag. You know, it's not a mountain. It's not a beautiful valley. It's a crag. It just means it's just a big old rock standing up there. I've just decided I'm the best looking crag I can possibly be. Do you know your name? Not the name you've given yourself. Not the name that ties you to your past. Not the name that ties you to shame or mistakes or failures. Not the name of, I wish I could undo that. Not the name of, oh, if I had to do over again, I would have never done that. No, the name he's given you. The name he calls you. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 says this, whoever loves God is known by God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, Paul wrote and said, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His. I want to challenge you to do something this week. I want to challenge you to take 15 minutes and cut off the television and cut off your tablet and cut off your phone and cut off whatever it is that you're in tune to, and to just get alone somewhere with no one else and take a pen or pencil and a tablet and just sit there and say this, God, what is my name? What is my name? You said, Jesus, that your sheep know your voice and your sheep know their name. What is my name? And I'm telling you, you're going to have to filter out all the junk that comes along. You're going to have to filter out liar. You're going to have to filter out, you know, adulterer. You're going to have to filter out, you know, not good enough. You're going to have to filter out don't do enough. You're going to have to filter out all that stuff. You're going to have to filter that junk out until you get down to what He calls you. I did that one time. It took more than 15 minutes. It took me quite a while to get through all the junk names. But this is what I heard in my heart. I heard these two words, favored, F-A-V-O-R-E-D, favored son. Favored son. And I thought, how appropriate. I was the baby in the family. And I knew that, I hate to tell you, sis, I was the favorite. Bubba may have got the middle biscuit, but I still was the favorite. Favored son. And I heard that and I said, but Father, look at all the things I've done. How about failed son? How about son who didn't live up to the expectations? How about son who blew it? No, favored son. I challenge you this week. Ask God, what is my name? Jesus said something else, and I'm wrapping this up. He said, I go before my sheep. He doesn't drive us. And that's the point he was getting to of what had occurred in John chapter 9, where they drove this man out of the synagogue. They said, you're out of here. You are out. Don't come back. You are excommunicated. You are disfellowship. You have no right here. We don't ever want to see your face again in the synagogue. They drove him out. Jesus said, I don't drive the sheep, I lead the sheep. The sheep follow me. The sheep trust me. The sheep know that I want the best and I'm doing what is best for the sheep. The sheep know that my heart is locked in with their heart. Going back to the Psalmist 23, verses 2 through 4, David said this, He, speaking of the shepherd, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for He is with me. His rod, His staff, they comfort me. I love the next verse. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. It was all about what the shepherd was doing for the sheep, to say to the sheep, I love you. I care for you. All my heart is locked into your heart. I'm leading you in the right path. I'm going to meet your needs. I'm going to be with you. Even in those times in which you may not feel me, I am going to be there. Why did they follow? They knew His voice. And because they knew His voice, they knew His heart. They knew His voice. They knew His heart. When you know the voice, you know the heart. I know I've said that before. But we learn as a child when we're in trouble with our parents. You know by their voice. Some of you knew because your parents called you by your full name, and you knew, I'm in trouble. We knew because we knew the voice. When you know the voice, you know the heart. And Jesus said, because my sheep know my voice, they follow me. Because they know my voice, and I know their heart. God willing, next week we're going to hit upon this name one more time. But in closing this morning, I want to ask you a question, a couple of questions. Do you know His voice? Not the voice of condemnation, not the voice of guilt, not the voice of shame, not the voice that keeps telling you you can't do it, you shouldn't do it, you never were able to do it, you failed, not that voice. Do we know His voice? His voice is not the voice of anger. His voice is not the voice of not measuring up. His voice is not the voice of not enough. His voice is kind. His voice is gentle. His voice is soft. His voice is filled with love and care. His voice sees you and me at our lowest and says to us, I'm here. When I have failed the most, I hear His voice say, I care. When I come to Him in prayer and say, Father, look at this mess, He says, I understand. When we feel alone and forsaken, He says, I'm with you. My sheep know my voice, and I know my sheep by name. Father God, we are the sheep of your pasture. It's what the psalmist said. And Lord, Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own ways. But oh, Father, you sent your Son Jesus to be the good shepherd. And he said, my sheep know my voice, and I know my sheep by name. I'm so grateful, Father, that you know us by name, not the name the world has put on us, not the name that condemnation has put on us, not the name that someone in our family or someone we had hurt put on us, but Lord, you have given us your name. I pray today, Father, that we would again hear your voice and would recognize our name. And even if it is a name we're not comfortable with, and even if it is a name, Father, in which we say, Lord, I don't think this fits me, we hear your voice. We hear the name you've given us. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning.